السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، آمين يا رب العالمين. ثم أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قل إن كانت لكم الدار الآخرة عند الله خالصة من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين، ولن يتمنوه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم، والله عليم بالظالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ثم أما بعد. Now Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is commanded to speak with them and give them a very stern ultimatum. Allah Azza wa Jal tells His Messenger to say, قل say, إن كانت لكم الدار الآخرة عند الله. If the home, the final home, dar in Arabic is used for a home or a dwelling, a residence. So if the final home belongs exclusively to you with Allah, this is referring to something in Jewish theology of the time. You find traces of that if you look at Jewish history, you'll find these elements of theology with them. This is not very dissimilar from the Muslims or the Christian community in that they believe in salvation being exclusive to their own. In other words, Muslims believe إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ, the only path to salvation, the only deen acceptable with Allah is al-Islam. If a minister or somebody representing the Catholic religion or the Protestant religion or any denomination thereof, if they're being honest with you and telling you, ask them who's going to heaven, they'll tell you only Christians. And some of you might even say only our denomination of Christians, not even these other guys. These other guys think they're okay, but they're going to hell too. Right, so they'll just come right out and say it. Of course, Jewish theology is a little bit different. It went through a lot of transformations over the centuries, and one such transformation that occurred was actually they developed within them a belief that there is no afterlife. One such group was there that they believe there is no afterlife, and what is referred to as paradise is the planet Earth itself when it's rid of all these Gentiles. When all the non-Jews are dead and only us remain, that's automatically Jannah. So that was one of the beliefs that was also developed. But in addition, there were other beliefs, and part of those other theological opinions was that the Akhirah, the afterlife, is specifically only for Jews. It's only for, or the Israelites. Nobody else is worthy of the Akhirah. And so, of course, these beliefs may have their own twists, but in the end, they were originally from the correct belief in the Akhirah. These are just twisted forms of what was originally taught. I mean, the very idea of an afterlife, of paradise and hellfire, the fact that those ideas even exist, in itself is an indication. Actually, I was speaking to a rabbi not too long ago about hellfire. And I want to make you privy to two conversations, actually one of them today. So I'm on a plane, this is a true story, it's not a joke. I'm on a plane, it's coming from Los Angeles, it's coming to New York, and it stops over in Vegas of all places, right? So when we change planes in Vegas, I get on the plane, in front of me there's a rabbi and a couple of Italian guys from Brooklyn, right? And then they're in a row together. And the rabbi is dressed in his traditional gear, so the Italian guys are like, hey, you a God type of guy, right? And so he goes like, I suppose you could say that. He goes, listen, we've been gambling this whole weekend, among other things. You think we're going to hell? Jiman, be honest. Just tell, you think we're going to hell? You know what is it? I'm listening to this and my jaw's dropping. He's going to say, yes, you are. Unless you make, you repent. He goes, well, it depends. Do you feel bad about what you did? This is, nope. Well, you should. But it's not about going to hell or anything. It's just you shouldn't do it, that's all. And it's not really easy. He goes, so there is no hell? He goes, I wouldn't say that either, but I wouldn't worry about it. Like, seriously? I almost blurted it out loud. Seriously? But there's that. On the one hand, there's this. Among others, there's actually the belief that there is such a thing as paradise, but there's no such thing as hellfire. That's dead and gone. And everybody else will just cease to exist. It'll just be paradise and we'll be the ones living in it. Now the question is, even if that is the twisted form of the correct belief, even then you would have to believe that the next life is better than this one, right? That this life, you have to do, there's so many problems in this life. You got to make payments, you got to pay the bills, you got to go see the doctor, you get old, you get sick, you weaken. All these problems you have to deal with. On top of that, all these Gentiles, you got all these kinds of problems. So the ultimatum given is, if the afterlife, if that final home is exclusively for you,
with Allah, then khalisatan min duni, and on top of that it's pure from all other people, khalisatan min duni nas, then why are you still here? Fatamannaul maut, wish for death. Wish for death because that's death is your straight ticket to the, you know, the luxury housing where you have to, you know, not pay a single bill and you can live forever and you can have youth forever and you're free from all of us. Khalisatan min dunin nas. Why don't you just go straight there? What are you waiting here for? فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Then wish for death if in fact you are truthful. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا. Now, by the way, before I go on, couldn't they just turn around and say that to the Muslims? Well, you believe you're going to Jannah, why don't you wish for death? They could do that, right? Except we don't believe we're going to Jannah. We believe that we don't know what our fate is. We hope to go to Jannah and we fear the hellfire also. If the Muslim stops fearing the hellfire, if the Muslim stops fearing standing before Allah Azza wa Jal, then there's something missing in his iman. And this is exactly what Christian preachers have said this to me many times. They said, you guys got a rough deal, man. You don't have a sure deal. You're not sure. You guys talk about this hope and fear thing. You know, like the book of Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, Bayn al-Khawf wal-Raja, between hope and fear. He's like, we got a straight ticket, Jesus, all the way. You know, we don't have to worry about it. We're guaranteed, we're saved. And I said, yeah, no, we're not guaranteed. Allah has made us a promise. We have to do our best to fulfill that promise. But I'm not so sure if I'm doing a good job or not. So I have to hope that whatever shortcomings I have are forgiven. And at the same time, I have to fear that those shortcomings may be too much. So I have to constantly ask for forgiveness and repent and live a life that is a, you know, fine balance between hope and fear. I can't lose hope on the one hand, but I can't let go of fear either. I can't do that. So we have this fine line. But these people, they said we have no fear. The idea was we're already saved. We're already chosen. We're already blessed. So if that's the case, then what are you doing in this world? What we're doing here is we're trying to do our best to pass this test. That's what we're trying to do. But for them, there is no test. You already passed. So what's your problem? Just go and reap the rewards. So now Allah says, if in fact you're truthful, and He says, وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا. They will never wish for it, ever. They will never ever wish for it. Then He tells us, why not? بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Because of what their hands have already sent forward. This is a Quranic expression. Because of what their hands have sent forward. What does that mean? Actually, it's a reference to investments. When you make an investment, you make the expenses now, but when do you get the rewards? In the future. When we do good deeds, they're like an investment. You've sent your deed, you've done your deeds now, but the rewards of it, you're going to go forward later on and receive them. The short expression for that is قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Right? Now, what is Allah referring to here? One, the way it's been understood is their sins. They know they've done a lot of really bad things. So they'd rather not meet with Allah and have to answer for those things. So deep down, even though they think they're saved, something in them says, maybe I'm not saved. So I'd rather not hope for that meeting. The other is, if you already have no interest, if you become immersed in dunya, then all your investments have to do with what? With akhirah or dunya? With dunya. You put all your money, all your effort, all your energies into this world. And if all your assets are tied over here, all your investments, all your hopes, all your dreams, all your goals have to do with here, why would you want to leave? You wouldn't want to leave. This is your home. You put all your investment here. You know, when we spend in the path of Allah, if this is not a fundraiser, please don't panic, okay? But when we spend in the path of Allah, what's the belief that the Muslim carries? We actually don't spend anything. We just transferred it from our dunya account into our akhirah account. That's all we did. It's like, you know, when you take money out of one account to another account, it's not called spending. It's not called spending. You didn't lose anything, you just transferred funds. So we're taking it from this account to that account. Now, the more money you put in that account, and it's told the only way to access that account is the akhirah, if you have a lot of money spent and a lot of investments made in that account, you'd be looking forward to go. But if you haven't spent, you have no savings in that housing, then you're not looking forward to going. So Allah says they never wish for it because of what they've invested in. Their investments are here. Why would they want to go to the other house? Right? بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah is fully knowledgeable of the wrongdoers. Last ayah and I'll conclude. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاتٍ. You will find them the most zealous of people, the most energetic in pursuit of saving or maintaining life, preserving their life, keeping their worldly life intact. Among all people, you'll find them the most zealous in protecting and preserving life. عَلَى حَيَاتٍ. In other words, they wouldn't like to lose this life. It's a continuation of the previous subject. They don't want to go to that world, that life. So obviously, all that's left is this one. So you'll find them, they're the most greedy about this life. أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاتٍ. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. And even more so than the people who do shirk, meaning the Quraysh, meaning the people of Makkah, other tribes. You know why? Because the Quraysh and these guys, they were warrior people. They would love to go out in the battlefield and be known as the guy who took like 20 arrows into his chest and then died. Like that was like a manly thing. I died like a man kind of thing, you know? This noble warrior death, not fearing death. This was part of like the honor of the Mushrik Arab. Because he'll be legend. Stories and poetry will be made about him. So they didn't care about death so much. But these tribes, they wouldn't go into battlefield. And we talked about before, when they would go into battle, what would they say? Ah, next time. Our messenger, the final messenger is coming, then we'll see what happens. كَانُوا يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Right? So he says, مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُوا أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Every one of them wishes that they could live for 1,000 years. وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنْ يُعَمَّرَ. And he will not, even then, Allah makes a comment, he will not be escaping at all from the punishment. Even if you live that long, you could live 1,000 years, go ahead, but you're still going back. So at the end he says, وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is in full view of what they're doing. The third person, a displeasure now. Allah is in full view of what they continue to do. I don't want us to lose track. I mentioned this earlier on in this series, but I want to bring it back again. I want to share with you a personal story. Speaking of Vegas again, it reminded me. But it has to do with this. I met a family, I don't want to pick on anybody, but I want to share this with you because I think it's of benefit. Muslims, subhanAllah, in some parts of this country, they have so much money, that it's not lack of money that's the problem, it's too much money is the problem. You know, and subhanAllah, some parts of the country are like that. So I'm at this family's house. Their house is probably, you know, at least half the size of this masjid. I mean, it's like a serious house. Right, and so I went there and I visited them, and you know I did a reminder for their children, things like that, and very palatial place, and the wife comes up to me at the end and she says, "Brother Numa, I gave a talk about Surah Al-Asr, and how our time is running out." She says, "I just want to ask you something." I said, "What is it?" She says, "I don't want to leave here. I love this house. I don't want to go to any other house. I don't want the Akhirah. I just want this house." And I told her, "I'm sorry, you're going to have to move." So, we're all going. What I'm trying to say is, this is not just somebody else's problem. When you become immersed in dunya, we are not immune from developing that kind of attachment. If you find within your Muslim family, when you bring up the subject of death, or inheritance, or what will happen after you're gone, or who will pray your janazah, and people around you get uncomfortable and say, "Don't talk about that stuff. Why are you talking about these negative things all the time?" This is not the attitude of a Muslim. Muslims embrace the concept of death. We don't run from it. But when in our families, when the subject matter of death becomes taboo, you know what's happened? We've become أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاتٍ. We've become the most zealous over life, even other than compared to other people. We have to be accepting of the fact that this is one stop in a journey. And we have to be prepared for the next stop. Whenever you take a journey, you get ready for the next stop. So that's our attitude in the life of a Muslim. So I pray that we don't embody these characteristics. It's easy to look at Bani Israel and say, "Ah, cursed nation." Look at how Allah talks about them. It's not about that. It's the legacy that Allah is talking about that we shouldn't embody. And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal protects our hearts from becoming hard and from becoming people that are zealous over this life and forget their concerns for the next. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.